Hebrews 10, 32 through 39. But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall be lived by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. Amen. Are you living by sight, feeling, or faith? I was thinking about some of the gruesome events that happened this past week. That shooting in Texas. And I just think about the evil days, and I think about the lawlessness that has just become just so commonplace in our world today. It's not just here. It's commonplace. I'd say other gruesome events. It was the World Economic Forum meeting in Davos. As they plan out the future of this world, so they think. It's hard to imagine our world getting any crazier than it already is. But it seems each day to top the last, correct? And things are happening at such a pace that it's hard to keep up. You know, if you do turn on news or you see a headline, it's like, whoa, what's going on? And with all that's going on in our personal lives, in our cities, our country, and the world, it can be tempting to let our minds and our hearts get both distracted and discouraged. It can be easy to go negative and feel overwhelmed. It can be easy to feel squeezed and stressed and paralyzed by fear. As Katie shared, though, God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And I think over this past week, I was, some of my conversations with you, and I administered to a person who was looking for a church family. And the tears that she was expressing over the phone, the loss of her son. The reality is, you know, you hear week in and week out here, we see things from a macro level, this large scale from around the world, and we see an onslaught and a tidal wave of events, right? You see that tidal wave building? And it's within our human nature to react to what's happening around us. But there's a certain reality that we are also being affected on a micro level, an individual level, more honed in, right? Not just by world events, right, to usher in a new world order, but I'm talking about we're impacted daily by the stresses in our lives, the health and the care of our loved ones, the struggles of daily living. Where am I going to provide? How am I going to provide? We experience loss and suffering and extreme trials. We feel pressed on all sides, struck down but not destroyed. You see, when things go sideways, our emotions swell, our feelings rise up, and they often take control. They can become the dominant factor that drives us. It's not a good place to be driven by emotion. And it's normal for us to respond to those feelings. But as followers of Jesus Christ, his word makes it very clear. We are to live by faith, not by our feelings. Because feelings will lead us astray. It's feelings today that has distorted the truth. It's how you feel on the inside. And as we live out our days, and we see chaos and the destruction and the darkness, we need to remember how desperately we need Him. And how desperately all of humanity needs Him. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. If we're abiding, we can bear fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. But then another scripture says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Are you tapping into that source of strength today? No matter what is going on in this world, no matter what evil ensues, we are told that we can have peace and calm in His presence. Because He controls it all. No matter who sits in government, we can have assurance in knowing that God sits on the throne. Amen? No matter how much our personal life can result in toil and despair, no matter if you lost it all like Job, no matter how dim things seem to be or how dark this world gets, we can know with certainty in our hearts that the Son of God, Jesus, He still shines, He reigns. He reigns, folks. And there's a future in Him alone, in Him. So just as the opening text stated, we have this confidence. Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. You can't, don't just shove it aside. In whom is your confidence? Is it in the things of this world? Is it in the leaders of this world who seem to have all the solutions that profit them, but not one soul? The answer is our confidence, and all of our hope is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And when we exercise that confidence, it ties directly to our endurance. The Christian life is not a sprint. We know it's a marathon. We need to live by faith, not by what we see, not by what the reports say. Our eyes will fool us. Even more so when we are moved by our feelings and our emotions, we drift from the anchor of our soul. We need to recall our faith, strengthen our belief like a muscle, and look for the hope that's ahead. First Peter 1:69, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Yeah, I know many of you. I hear from you. I hear. Even we see in our little group chat, our church thread, we see what's going on. That the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold. What man puts so much stock in today, your faith is more precious than that. Do you understand that? That perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Whom having not seen you love. Oh man, what it's going to be when we see Him though. Woo! Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Are you walking in joy? There's something inside a believer. It's called the Holy Spirit. We walk in joy, even with what's going on around us and close to us. We still walk in joy. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You have to have faith in the very present. Hebrews 1, right? Now faith, today's faith, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Thomas got to touch and feel. And Jesus said, blessed are you. You can touch, feel. Blessed are those who don't see, don't get to touch and feel and believe. That's why you could feel the strength of when we were singing that song. It comes down from deep inside, right? The confidence was coming out when we were singing, wasn't it? Yes. And especially when we're collected together as believers. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. He is. and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Seek him first and his righteousness. So how do we build up that faith, right? Romans tells us how, right? Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's alive. The word of God is alive. And this is crucial if you want to build up your faith. You got to get in the word. You got to not only read it, you got to be able to apply it, right? Be doers of the word. If his word declares it, then you can have full confidence and trust in it. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. So when you're talking to loved ones, maybe you're on that spiritual mountaintop right now. But maybe when you're talking to loved ones who are going through the trial, what are you doubting? Where are you wavering? What of God's promises are you not clinging to or holding on to? What about God are you doubting? What lie or false witness, right? Like in Numbers, the book of Numbers, the spies that went out, we talked about that. Who are you listening to? What lie are you listening to? What false report are you listening to? Because you need to replace those thoughts with God's thoughts. His word. And that takes discipline. It takes obedience. It takes sacrifice. The things of this world are they look very nice. The pleasures of sin for a season. The Bible's clear about it. You know, the Lord knows. Knows we're human, right? And we talked about last week, the enemy of our soul, Satan, and his world system wants to form a stronghold. It wants to form a false belief of God and what is going on. And you need to compare the lie to the truth. Romans 12:1-9, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You renew your mind, and you renew that living hope of Jesus Christ, the anchor of your soul. And that combats the pressures that come against us. It combats the fear that rises up inside us. Psalm 119, 114. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. I hope in your word. And it's built on faith, that hope. The hope is that earnest anticipation that comes with believing something good. And God is good. And he's good all the time. Amen. Hope is a peaceful assurance that something that hasn't happened yet will happen. Amen? Romans 8:24-25 says, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Perseverance, which is tied to endurance, isn't it not? Jesus Christ, his return is our blessed hope. That's what we cling to, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior. We can't see him yet, but we know he's coming. And we anticipate that event with joy. But you have to trust in him. There's people who they've lost their trust in the Lord. They go back to the mud, and they go back to the things of the world. Who and what are you trusting in this moment? You got to trust him in all areas, not just little pieces, right? We like to give up little pieces. I'll trust you with these things over here, Lord, but these ones I'm going to hold on to over here. Right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. He will direct your path. That's a sharing with that woman, you know.
feeling so lost.
But when we minister to people, we're able to renew that joy inside. And by the end of that, conversation, she was smiling. I could hear it. I could tell over the phone. She had found some joy. And that joy was in the Lord. Because He has a path for us. He has a plan for us. Yeah, I was laughing when you were talking. Because I know that was the Holy Spirit ministering through you. Jesus said, John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in Me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That's the reality. The reality of the times, that you will have tribulation. Hard times, and we're going to experience worse tribulation, right? You know, birth pangs increasing. Numerous times I've said this is not the best life now, contrary to what some authors like to write about. We look in hope to the future, because our future, Jesus Christ is going to make all things right. When you look at the things that are going on in this world, does it not anger your insides? When I hear certain people talk, and I'm just like, it just swells up. And then we need to remind ourselves, right, that the Lord will make all things right. Vengeance is His, not ours. We are to act in love, be praying for those. We look and hope to the future when Christ makes all things right. And He says, "I have overcome because of our faith in Him. We are overcomers as well." Isaiah 26:34 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength." If you have faith, you should have trust. And that trust is a result of relationship with Jesus. That's what's amazing about Christianity. You have a relationship with the living God. All other religions are about works. It's a works-based. And we know works doesn't do it. "For by grace you were saved through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast." We trust in Him who saved us. He made us right in relationship, and we've become sons and daughters of God. He is our everlasting strength. So if you're trusting, that means you got to give up control. You got to give up control. You need to understand you can't control everything, nor can you control people. You can't change the world. You cannot. Regardless of what people think, this past week I've been following the World Economic Forum's meeting. And Klaus Schwab said, "The future is not just happening. The future is filled and built by us, by a community of you with great strength, power, and tools. We have the means to improve the state of the world." Those are his words exactly. And I could see the venom of Satan on display. And it was like pride with all caps. Like, let's build us a tower that we can reach to the heavens and be as God. That was one of the anger moments. Listen, as times change, and our world is changing, is it not? And that anxiety creeps in, and we don't like change. Many of us are creatures of habit, right, honey? Yes. My wife is a creature of habit. She used to eat sweet potatoes, like, this is a side, get out of kind of the rabbit hole, but she would eat sweet potatoes every day for lunch, and my dad would make fun of, like, "You're not going to eat anything else." And then her hands started to turn orange, and the bottom of her feet started turning orange from eating it every day. And she's like, "I could eat these every day." Yeah, she did. She certainly did. Well, you don't like change, though. As humans, we don't like change. This is honest, right? And the anxiety swells up, and it can be paralyzing. We want to clam up into a shell. You see, even when the world is crumbling around us, God is still working and he's still moving on the hearts of man. We are still in the dispensation of grace.
Right. Though it's, I think we're at the tail end.
Romans 8:28, we know all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Genesis 50:20, right, with Joseph. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. It's hard when we lose, you know, again, going back, the conversation I had with this woman just really impacted me this past week, because she lost her son to drugs, and she just, she couldn't understand why, what was happening. We live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world, but God still has a plan and a purpose. She's got two daughters. Two daughters. And one just graduated college with honors. And she's got a younger daughter that she's able to impact and speak life into that daughter. And I'm talking about Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. We can impact our sphere of influence. God has given you specific people that you are around every day or weekly that you can impact for his glory, for his kingdom. All the more reason that we don't clam up into a shell. We, as it gets darker, we should be shining brighter, right? Yes. Let iron sharpen iron. We can snatch brands from the fire. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you're also doing. And Hebrews 10:24-29, let's consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. That's why we're a body, church. Building one another up. No man is an island. You cannot do things on your own. It is God who gives us strength. We get weary, and that's why we need to encourage one another. Back to control, the fact that you and I feel we need to have control is often a reflection of our lack of trust in God. You question the God of the universe, the one who brought the dead back to life, who spoke nothing into existence, is not capable of handling your circumstances or your problem. I know you did all these things, God, but this one's way too big for you. Really? Really? And I think we're starting to understand this more and more as we've dug deeper into his word, right? We take it to the Lord in prayer. I'm finding that more and more in my life. When I, you know, when things start going sideways, I just need to stop and I need to pray. And it takes my focus vertical, right? Remember we talked about not horizontal. You got to go vertical. Horizontal, you're looking at the circumstances. How am I going to figure this one out? He's got to figure it out. Give me peace. Let me trust in you, Lord, right? When we cling to the control factor, oftentimes it may be because we have an expected outcome we want that is not part of God's plan. Are you trusting with your whole heart? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out of its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Fruit. Whoa. You won't cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. The law of sowing and reaping, folks. For those of you trying to control the aspects of your life, remember, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. If you see it, it's not faith. The reality is when we feel out of control, it is faith that enables us to be okay with the out of control. When things are spinning out of control, it's faith that it grounds us to know that that's okay. Trust in God. He's got a plan. He's working things together for his good, for his glory, even though it may hurt a little with us in our goals and our life plans. This is what God says about you, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. By trusting in our Lord means letting go of what you can hold. And what you need to do is lay a hold of Jesus, who is the living word. See, the world and Satan wants to distract you and I, get us off focus, off mission. And guess what? When you do that, are you fruitful for the kingdom or are you fruitful for the world? When we focus on the circumstance of the world and lose focus on Christ, you stop being a salty and light-bearing Christian. We should be growing in our faith, being diligent. 2 Peter 1:2-10, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Who's inside you? Oh, okay. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, but also for this very reason. You were saved. You were ransomed, right? On the auction block. But also for this very reason, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance. There's the endurance. To perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and are abounding, if they're abounding, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You should cling to that list. Are you growing in those things or are you receding? Go back to your first love and do your works again. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We don't want to be short-sighted. In fact, what have we learned a couple weeks ago? Perspective is everything. We need spiritual eyes. We need a perspective from God. So keep in mind God's perspective. Keep in mind his timing and the reality of eternity as we live each and every day. We need to strengthen our confidence and endure as we build up our faith, relinquish control over our life, trusting fully in Jesus. He has plans. He has purposes of our life to be used for his glory. And we know that there is very little time left. We see things coming together very quickly because we have spiritual eyes. We are not children of darkness, but of light. We know the season we are living in. For you have need of endurance. Back to the opening text. So after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Everyone draws back, my soul no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe in the saving of the soul. Paul said another way, Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Yeah, this life just sucks sometimes. It just does. You're pilgrims passing through this world. This is not your home. We don't draw back. We press forward. I think about the woman who, you remember she pressed through the crowd to get a hold of Jesus' garment? We press through. We press forward. We don't recede back. Even more so as we see the day coming. God's view and timing says a little while. a little while. Sure, I want to go home now. Let's go. Let's go. Right? But if we trust in him and we have his perspective and knowing that he's in control of all things and wishes that all would come to repentance, we know that not all will. His timing is right, not ours, right? We want to go yesterday. We want to be gone, right? But his timing is right. So I'm going to trust in that. And then when that time comes, it's going to happen. I heard another pastor call it in a rapto second. In a rapto second, it's going to happen. In a rapto second. 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall all not sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Till then, till the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we occupy, which is a military term, and we redeem the time he has given us because we understand there's an eternal perspective. This life is a vapor. I think about those whom, you've led to the Lord, and think about those who led you to the Lord. What joy you will have when you are in heaven, and what appreciation that they didn't muzzle their mouth when they spoke the truth to you. So till then, occupying and redeeming. He has given us the gift of the helper, the comforter, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, who leads us in all truth. Amen? He has given us his word. He has given us his armor to stand in the evil day. Each day we have now is a gift from him. The very breath you just took was a gift from him. We have been promised a bright future beyond all our days in this present life. A future of hope, a future of eternity. We have the blessed hope. It's a blessed assurance in knowing he is returning for his own. Mr. John sent out that passage yesterday. Let not your heart be troubled. Yeah. That's right. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That's his word. I'm going to make a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, guess what? I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. Hallelujah. He's making a place for us. As the world rushes into chaos, you as an overcomer and a child of God can rush towards Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, pressing in even closer to him, not drawing back, pressing in. He knows you. He knows every hair on your head. He loves you and I, and he promises never to leave us nor forsake us. It's only in Jesus where you find rest. It's only in Jesus where you find comfort. It's only in Jesus that you find assurance, protection, and peace. So remember, as the world grows darker, the sun, S-O-N, still shines. And as the world grows more evil, the King of Kings still reigns. And as we see and experience birth pangs and the groaning of this earth increasing, we see more clearly that day is fast approaching when we will soon meet him in the clouds. One day, very soon, Flight 777 will arrive and he will call us home. What a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Oh, man. Man. Can you feel that inside? Can you feel like you're getting if you were off kilter a little bit, this should have reoriented you. Sometimes we need that, right? Some things, you hear these things over and over again. You know what, though? It's easy to get off track. And if you don't know Jesus, you can know him today. You have to admit you're a sinner and you need a Savior. Because there is none righteous, not one of us. Our righteousness, our good deeds are filthy rags. They're filthy. And we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. That is the death penalty. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a gift. What a gift. You got to get over your pride. Admit you're a sinner. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's a change of mind, change of direction, metanoia in the Greek. You can't save yourself. Admit you're a sinner and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. Romans 10:19, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For those of you who already believe, are you confessing? Are you sharing? Are you sharing? Jesus is Lord, and he can save you. The thief on the cross, there's two there. One made the right choice. One didn't. For all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. God loves the world. And whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Not torment, life. And that's the abundant life that's coming. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your promises. I ask, Lord, that you would strengthen this church as we go out our separate ways, Lord, that we would not rely on our own strength, but rely solely upon you and the Holy Spirit to lead us to opportunities to share the truth, share the gospel, share the good news with those who are lost, that another would come into your kingdom before that time is through. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for this body of believers. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed.